are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Good to be here. Happy Father's Day. So great to have everyone in the house today. And hopefully you'll get a chance to wish a father a happy Father's Day or blow a happy father's kiss or hug or do something special. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what I say. Ooh, chihuahua. So great to be in the house of the Lord on Father's Day and to honor our Heavenly Father and to honor all the fathers here at Joy. Whether they're biological fathers or spiritual fathers, they're significant in the kingdom of God. And I want to talk to you this morning about a father's legacy. We'll be looking at Genesis chapter 41. When Peter was 16 years old, he finally got a hold of his driver's license. In order to celebrate his special day, the whole family went out to the driveway, climbed into the car to enjoy his first official drive. We know where this is going. However, Dad went to the back seat where he sat right behind his son, Bob. When Bob saw his dad, he said, "Dad, you must have been fed up with the front seat after teaching me how to drive all these days, right?" "Nope," came a quick reply from Dad. "I'm going to sit back here and kick the back of your seat while you drive, just like you've been doing for me for the last 16 years. Here's another one. "Hey, why do golfers take an extra pair of socks with them? In case they get a hole in one." Rob, you liked that, didn't you? Thank you. There was this father and son, and the dad said, "Son, if you keep pulling my hair, I will have to get you off my shoulders." And the son said, "But Dad, I'm just trying to get my gum back." Oh, that was what you call a sticky mess. Johnny's father said, "Let me see your report card." And Johnny said, "I don't have it." And Johnny's father said, "Why not?" And Johnny said, "My friend just bored it, Dad. He wants to scare his parents." There was this company who held a contest for kids with the theme, "The nicest thing my father ever did for me." And one of the kids answered, he married my mother." Aww. "Oh, what's that? No booze for that one?" "Oh, boo for my first ones. But this one, all the mothers in the house are like, yeah." All right. I want to talk to you about a father's legacy. The blessing from a father to his children will commission them and transform them into their future. Giving the blessing will help you build unconditional love, acceptance, and attachment to your relationships as a father, either to your children or to your spiritual children. You can listen to the voice of our Heavenly Father calling you, and you will discover an open door of blessing. Our Heavenly Father loves to bless fathers. Can I tell you that? Loves it. And so he loves to do that. And God is stable, and he's kind as a father. And your relationship with him is permanent. So whether you have had a father or a spiritual father, you're not orphaned. You have a heavenly father, and he's committed to you. God is looking for fathers and spiritual fathers who will take an interest in providing spiritual comfort for both their biological and their spiritual children. Your deep love for Jesus will be reflected in your fatherly love for those needing a spiritual father. In the book, The Blessing, it states that when a person has a secure personal relationship with their Heavenly Father and a spiritual family that offers warmth, love, and acceptance, every element of the blessing is ours. And that's the power of belonging to the family, really God's family, the church, and to Joy Community Church. Because if you don't have a current father, my father's passed and gone to be with the Lord. My father-in-law's passed and gone to be with the Lord. And so I need a spiritual father, and God has provided a spiritual father in my life. I'm convinced that God's equipped the church, the local body of believers, to provide the blessing to people in need. God's heart is that every woman, every man, every young adult, and every child be blessed by either their father or a spiritual father. And because I have received amazing blessings from various spiritual fathers, I have made a choice in my life to become a source of blessing to spiritual sons and daughters at Joy Community Church and all around the world. I have sons and daughters all over the world, and it's a blessing to my heart. Since my life has been filled with God's blessing through His Spirit and His people, I've been able to love, serve, affirm, add value, picture a special future for that person, and provide an active commitment to the well-being of someone's spiritual journey in Jesus Christ. I love being a father, and I love being a father to the fatherless. It blesses my heart. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 49. We're going to be in that chapter, and I want you to take a look at verses 1 to 2. And I want to discuss this morning that one of the most powerful ways that a father can leave a legacy is when a father gives a blessing to their children or their spiritual children. Let me show you this. And it says here in verse 1 in chapter 49 of Genesis, "Then Jacob called for his sons and said, 'Gather around so I can tell you what will happen in your days to come. Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel.'" That is a very significant two verses, because Jacob's name was Jacob. But we're seeing, as he's speaking here, he's been transformed by the power of God, and his name now is Israel. So his heart's been changed, his spirit has been changed, his motives have been changed, and the realization that he can no longer favor one child, but he needs to bless all his children. Amen? That is powerful. Just those words, "Listen to your father Israel." He's saying God redeemed our generation, God has spoken to our generation, and God has purpose for me to bless this generation so that future generations will be impacted for the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying in those verses. And so we need to be intentional. If you're filling in the blanks in the sheets that I had prepared, we need to be intentional about giving the blessing. And we see he's being intentional. First of all, he's about to die. He's 130 years old. I hope I get to live to that. Some say I still act like 3, so I've got a long way to go. Okay? And so he's gathered them around. And he's gathered them around. Why? Because he wants them in his presence. He wants them to know that they can't hear this from one another. They need to come gathered around his bed. He wants to provide for them words of hope, words of life, words of spiritual direction, and a prophetic declaration of what their future is to be like. And so he has brought these guys together. He had he didn't assume that his sons automatically knew what was in his heart for them, or that they just could figure it out, like what he thought about them. No, he's saying, wait a second, they know I love them, but they don't know what I'm thinking about them. They know I care for them, but they don't know what I hope for them. They know that I'm concerned for their well-being because I brought them from Canaan when there was famine, and I brought them to Egypt because I wanted them to be safe and fed and taken care of. But they don't know the blessing of God that I have for them, and they don't know prophetically what their future holds. That's powerful. And so he's intentional in giving the blessing. And many of our children know we love them, and they know we're proud of them, but have not directly heard from us words of affirmation and how much they delight our hearts. And Jacob's blessings, we see here that not just Joseph, not just Benjamin, but all 12 of the sons, if you read chapter 49, every son, their blessing was individualized. It was personal, it was meaningful, and it was directional. And he wanted to make sure that they understood his love for them. His memory is actually nothing more than remarkable. Here's this elderly man. He's able to name them all by name. And the thing about their blessing is that he knows the details of their lives. He doesn't just know about them. He knows the details of their life. There's many fathers today who know they gave life to somebody, but they don't know that somebody. Are you with me? My father knew of me, but he didn't know of me. He didn't know who I was and what was about me until much, much later in my life when I met him again. A blessing, I like what Dr. John Trent says. He said, a blessing becomes so only when it is spoken. Spoken words of praise and appreciation gives the child an indication that he or she is worthwhile and valuable. It is not enough to provide a roof over our children's heads or to provide them with food and the material necessities of life. Without spoken words of blessings, they are left unsure of their personal worth and acceptance. We have a generation, folks, of fatherless people. It's a fatherless generation. God is looking for fathers in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, to be fathers to the fatherless, to be fathers to the orphan, to be fathers and to care and nurture and to speak words of affirmation and words that declare to that individual person they have worth. Amen? Yeah. Every person, whether they're Anne's age at 130 or, oh, I'm sorry, not 130, I mean 13. No matter what our age, they need to know they're affirmed and loved, just like I love Anne and bust on her every week. I want her to know she's loved. Amen? I want you to be intentional. I want you to plan to give sons and daughters your blessings. Now, one of the things I love to do is when I'm meeting people in my office, whether they're female, whether they're male, whether they're old, whether they're young, one of the things I love to do, and I'm purposed at this, and I do it on purpose, is I pray for people. And I don't only pray for their today, and I don't just pray for our meeting together, but I pray into existence something for their future, something about their character, something about that I appreciate and admire about them. And I do that because when I was younger, words of appreciation or affirmation were never spoken over me. And when I got saved, my spiritual daddy, my papa, my spiritual papa, he spoke words for my future and spoke into my very personality and being and began to direct my life and bring healing into my heart. And so it's so important to plan what you're going to say. And that leads to my next point. And that is found in verses 22 to 26. Read that with me. It says here, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. But his bough remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber. Because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breasts and womb, your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. And we see that, I look at those verses and I see my next point. And that is, choose to live out the blessing day by day, affirming dreams, affirming goals, affirming that individual's potential. Every child, whether they're your biological or your spiritual child, need their goals, their dreams, and their potential to be affirmed. And that is so important. Jacob had already been impacted by Joseph's potential, but he wanted to verbally affirm what he had seen and what he had personally experienced. You have to remember, he hadn't seen him. He left him when he was 17, and now at this age, he's about 40 receiving the blessing, just so you understand. So there was a period of time when his father wasn't with him. You understand that? And when his father got to see him and witness how he was governing all that Pharaoh had asked him to govern, he began to see this boy has some potential. This boy, God prophetically spoke to him, and it's become a reality. He's walking out all the things that were prophesied about him. And all the dreams he had, they're a reality as of this moment. And so he verbally affirms them. Most people ascribe to the belief that seeing is believing. What you see is what you get. Remember that? In January 2007, the Washington Post did an experiment to test what people actually see. They arranged for a young man named Joshua Bell to play music at the metro station, the subway station. By most measures, he was a nondescript person. He was wearing jeans, a long-sleeved T-shirt, and a Washington Nationals baseball cap. From a small case, he removed a violin. Placing the open case at his feet, he threw in a few dollars and cents and removed his violin. And then he began to play. For the next 45 minutes, Bell played Mozart, Schubert, as over 1,000 people streamed by, and most people didn't pay attention. If they had paid attention, they might have recognized the young man was a world-renowned violinist. They also might have noted that the violin he played was a rare Stradivarius worth over $3 million. Just 3 days earlier, Joshua Bell sold out Boston Symphony Hall with ordinary seats going for $100. Yet in the subway, Bell only earned $32 from 27 people who stopped to listen and admire his potential. You see, what we see is not what God sees. And what we think our reality is not what God sees as reality. The people at the subway station saw just another out of the work musician playing for change. Somebody probably said, get a job, when he already had one. The reality was that they were witnessing a world-renowned musician. And each father has the privilege to stop long enough to recognize their child's potential and to affirm them. Jacob took the time with all 12 of his sons, and he recognized and empowered them. And to Joseph, he wanted to empower him by expressing the various qualities that he had seen in Joseph's life. And the first quality he mentions is a strong sense of security. And Jacob purposely used three very descriptive names of God in this blessing. He said, he said here that the mighty one of Jacob, the shepherd, and the rock of Israel. And so he's saying, because he had a dependency on the mighty one of God, because he understood who God was as all-powerful, unconquerable, everlasting in his nature, and all-sufficient, Joseph's walk with God was amazing. He said that because Joseph trusted in the shepherd, that the shepherd led his life like a flock, and that God protected and nurtured him in critical times of his life. And then he said that Joseph really leaned upon the rock and find great strength in God, stability and security, and that God would lead him and continue to lead him until the people left from this generation. Remember, we're talking about connecting generations, right? So his father wanted to speak and empower him because he knew that once he died as his father, then Joseph had to lead the people towards the promised land and to get them back in the place where God had intended them to be. And so he tells him, he says, Joseph had a strong sense of identity. He compared Joseph to a fruitful vine that drew water from a spring. You have to understand that vine also drew water. Where was he thrown into? A well, right? So he's saying you were rescued from a well, but you've become a living vine. And that means you went from Cana and you came, your vine grew over the wall of Egypt and into great life for the Egyptians. And you saved our generation of people. I mean, you just read that and you just, oh, that's okay, that's so cool. That's cool. No, there's real value to what he's saying to him. And then he says you have a strong sense of empathy because he was taken from home and brought to Egypt as a slave. He was bought as a slave. He was treated as a slave. And he was mistreated as a person who was a slave. And he's saying, and because of that, you now have empathy because of your suffering. And then he's saying you have a strong sense of purpose. And Jacob promised Joseph that God would give him descendants of blessing. We see that down here where he says the blessings of deep that lie below, the blessings of the breast and the womb. He's saying you're going to be blessed. There's your sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, their generations that are going to come, they're going to have a line and a lineage of God-fearing people. That's what he, and we know that to be true because Joshua came from that line. Deborah, the prophetess, came from the line of Joseph. So did Jephthah. So did Samuel, the prophet. And so did Gideon. You know, the guy who feared everybody? Gideon, the great warrior, he came from the line of Joseph. And so here we see all these people who followed him. Who knows, folks? Who knows if you give the blessings of the Lord to somebody else as a spiritual father or a father of faith, who knows the lineage you'll have in the future? Amen? That's a thrill. If I trip on that one more time, I'm going to land on my head. And then I love what Jacob does in the final aspect of the blessing. He empowers him when he tells him that he had this strong sense of perspective. And because of his strong faith in God, because he really stayed the course, he didn't give in to temptation. He didn't give in to the testings of the enemy. He didn't give in to doubt. He didn't give in to bitterness and rage and anger. He forgave his brothers. He loved on his brothers when he met up with them again. He's saying, you have a great sense of perspective. You have a great perspective of who God. That's what I long to see happen in my own lineage. And what I've done with the blessing, I have two sons. Jordan is my eldest, and Elijah is my youngest. And they're mighty men. They're not walking as mighty men today of God, but they are going to be mighty men of God because I've invested in their lives that way. And I spent time in prayer over them every night. Devotions, family devotions, where I spoke into their hearts. Times where I took them on trips, just one at a time, and spent time with them alone and spoke into their lives and took them places and invested in their futures. And then there was a time, just a few years ago, where the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to not just tell them they're blessed. I want you to lay out the blessing. And you see, one of the things that Jacob did is he made it personal. It's not just because you have all these kids. He had 12 boys, but each of his blessings were independent. They were individualized and personal and meaningful. And I wanted my sons to understand, you are two distinct, different young men. And when you grow up, the purpose of God in your life will be different from each other. And so I laid out in their blessing, when they were a baby, to when they were just a little tyke, to when they were little boys and teens. Oh, teens. Oh, my gosh. That's why I needed the blessing. And then young adults, young men, and now they're growing men. And so I took them down this journey, and I painted this future picture of who they're to be in Christ Jesus. Now, they're not walking that path right now, but they will be walking that path someday because I have a godly perspective. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm secure in what I believe. And I believe that the blessing I gave has life. I believe the blessing I gave has hope. I believe that the blessing I gave has kingdom purpose in mind. And I believe, just like Jacob believed in his son's dreams, that the dreams I have for my sons are going to become a reality in their lives. Amen? Amen? I want you to believe the same for your sons and daughters. I want you to take time to think of how you can encourage your children's goals, dreams, and potential. And I'm really asking you, you've been given a privilege to give as a spiritual father or a father your children a blessing that will impact future generations. Now, I want to take you to the next insight that will help you provide the blessing for your children. And it's found in verse 28. It says here, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. That's a key. I want to share that with you. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each a blessing appropriate to him. And when he's saying appropriate to them, it means I'm speaking into your life because this has got to be a biblical anchor that you can hold on to. This blessing has to be meaningful and shape your mind, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And when I work with, I have eight young men or seven young men that I'm working with currently. And they're sons of the faith. They're not my biological sons. But I'm telling you, I can speak and put them in line so quick you won't believe it. And so when they're with me, my intention is to build a biblical anchor that will hold them steady in the storm. That's what I want for them. And so I speak into their lives. And Jacob's formal blessing Now, here he is near the end of his life, and he's like, this is going to be my legacy. We're talking about a father's legacy. This is Jacob's legacy, the blessing. Your legacy as a father, and even if you're a young man and you're sitting here today with no family yet, doesn't mean you won't have a family in the future. God bring this word back to you in the future is what I pray. Amen. It says that he blessed each one of them with a blessing appropriate to them. He personally acknowledged each of his sons and knew that word was a prophetic word. He knew that word was a life-changing word, and it was a foundation for them so that they would have a relationship with God and that they would actually move that blessing into the next generations so that then we could connect generation to generation. Though Jacob's blessing included protection, guidance, material substance, the main blessing to his sons was a spiritual legacy of God. That's what our hope is. I like what Mandy Hart said. She said, you are a father. You are in the possession of shaping a life and leaving a legacy. Amen? I'm so encouraged today to speak about the blessing of God. And I have been so, my life has been so transformed from the blessing of God. I didn't get the blessing from my father. But I've received blessing upon blessing. God has set mighty men of God in my heart since I've been born again, since the first night I got saved. From my spiritual father, my first pastor, and as he moved me through Bible school, Stacy Klein was one of my mentors and my spiritual father. He moved me on to Paul Wagner at my next church, who was my senior pastor. Mike Webster, who we've had here several times. Paul Gemitter has been my spiritual papa. Ron Bergio from Lovejoy in Buffalo, in my first pastor, he was my spiritual papa. And I've had many more since. And Pastor Frank has been like a spiritual father to me as well, because he knew me when I was just a punk. And he actually stayed in my life that long enough to watch me grow older. And so all these men who have spoken and shaped my life have really caused me to understand the significance of a deposit, the privilege of giving the blessing. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for each person sitting here on this Father's Day. And Lord, so many of us have wonderful memories of our dad, and many of us have terrible memories of our father. But Lord, you're the redemptive God. You're the healing God. And you're the God who's capable of bringing into our lives men who can be our spiritual fathers and speak the blessing of God into our very hearts. We pray today that as I'm standing here on the altar, I am the spiritual father of this house. I pray for each and every woman and man and boy and girl, teen, and then young adult. And I ask today, Father God, that you will come with the love of Jesus Christ and remind each person that your love is as high as the heavens are above the earth. Father, that you have forgiven each person and their sins are no more. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. And Father, that you're a God who never leaves us. You never forsake us. You never pack up your bags and walk out the door. You stay with us because your steadfast love never ceases and your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And I pray today, this morning, this afternoon, that you would come and speak your blessing over each woman and man, over each teen, and over each child, and over each baby. We ask that you would, Father, keep them for yourself. Keep them against the enemy. Save them. Be their rock. Be their shepherd. And be their almighty God. We look to you, Lord God, and we ask that you would establish your purpose in each person's life this morning. And we pray for anyone seated here today who has been broken because they feel rejected. They feel abandoned. They feel unappreciated. We break off rejection in the name of Jesus. We break off the spirit of abandonment in the name of Jesus. We break off that spirit of comparing one child against the other in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would stamp that individual person's heart with your affirmation, your approval, and your pleasure in them. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Glory, hallelujah. Amen? Isn't he good? Let's clap and thank the Lord. He's a great Heavenly Father.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.